Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Here in Ireland for over 40 years, that's four decades of trust, reliability and expertise. Visit Zurich.ie.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
Now, as well as having a devastating impact on our biodiversity, the cost of invasive species management to councils is an average of 1.7 million euros a year. Though it's not quite as bad here. In the UK, having Japanese knotweed, for example, near your house can cause serious legal and financial and practical issues. And because it can damage paving and drains and building foundations, mortgage lenders, would you believe, often refuse to approve loans if knotweed is on or even near the property. But some of these plants can be pretty, and some of them, even though there's a new statutory instrument, are still sold in garden centres under different names, as our next guest found out. Nolene Smith is a botanist and chartered horticulturalist and our resident expert now. Nolene, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you so much, Cormac, and thank you for having me on. Yeah.
I'm very keen to get your insight here. Let's look first at Hottentot fig, which is a new one on me, I must say. Hottentot fig, which you found for sale under a different name.
Yeah, that's true. So this is a South African plant, a very pretty plant that grows kind of in just 20 different spots through the coast of Ireland on the east and south coast. So we only have little spots of it here escaped in the wild. But in the UK, on the Lizard Peninsula in Cornwall, it basically just dominates the whole cliffside. So, and I had done some work with the Botanic Gardens before. We had been working out and hope trying to clear it and with some success. But when I found it for sale kind of at a trade show recently, I was really shocked. So it kind of put me into looking into which ones are actually regulated and which ones are still
mode.
In trade.
I have it up here now. It's beautiful. If it's the right one, it's a pink and with a little bit of yellow in the middle. Why is it bad?
That's it. Well, it basically smothers out all the plants around it. So it's like a carpeting mat of vegetation. So kind of like these snake-like, heavy, kind of juicy mats that kind of squash out everything. So in Howth is the cliffs at Howth are very beautiful. If anyone's done the cliff walk there, and it's a special area of conservation. So if it gets hold there, it kind of pushes out all our local biodiversity and our local native species there. And I think, so that's a big issue. So it's a big issue kind of as a coastal plant in Ireland. If you go, as I say, to the Mediterranean, just swamps, huge cliff sides. I think we have spots all the way down kind of as far as the Old Head of Kinsale, where it's swamping out all these cliff sides.
So, and you found this Hottentot fig for sale under a different name, is that it?
That's right, yeah. So I was really shocked at a trade show recently. So it's called, the Latin name is Carpobrotus edulis. So you can eat it, you know, you were saying a fig, Hottentot fig, where one of the tribes basically used to eat it as a food source. So it has a little seed called a fig. So it was been sold under Mesembryanthemum edulis. So, I mean, that sounds a bit complex, but for anyone in the trade, this would be like Mike or Michael, you know, or Mikey or stuff like that. It'd be the same, you know, it'd be a synonym, really. So I suppose really it's just to alert landscapers and maybe buyers for garden centres and nurseries that all of these ones that are on the regulated list of national concern, that these are still, they might be actually out there and for sale.
And you can plant them unwittingly, and be doing
that's
harm.
It, yeah, so and come here to me,
is it true, Nolene, is it true what I've read, that there are now more non-native plants than native here?
Yeah, that's right. We've passed the tipping point. So we've probably around 900 native plants, you know, our local ones that are our Irish plants. But we have over 1,200 exotic ones that are outside in our environment. So this is outside our gardens and growing in the wild. Now, most of them don't cause any concern, but I suppose we do know, things like Rhododendron ponticum, the giant rhubarb, things like that. So there are ones that are going absolutely kind of bonkers outside the gardens,
really?
You can do nothing about them,
I suppose. Once they're planted, once they become common or prevalent, I mean, is there anyone policing this? And even if there were, what can they do?
Yeah, well, I mean, we are policing, I think, National Parks and Wildlife spent over $3 million with some effect down in Killarney doing work on clearing rhododendron ponticum. Mm-hmm. But shockingly, you can still buy rhododendron ponticum online, like in four different places. So I suppose that's what I was highlighting, that we're spending all these vast millions on things that are, you know, out there in the landscape. And some of our special area conservation, okay, there's certain parts of Ireland that maybe you kind of go, right, that's a bit of a lost cause, but definitely our national parks and some of our special areas of conservation, we really, you know, we need to be getting rid of anything exotic from them.
So, I mean, is there a rule of thumb around native or opting for non-native plants, Noeline? Like, there's an awful lot of variety in the garden centres. I'm sure they're competing with each other to provide the best choice and, you know, for people who want exotic looking gardens. Would you say, you know, go back to basics, go back to what's native here in Ireland?
Yeah, so I suppose a lot of what's native are maybe what we consider a bit weedy ourselves, you know what I mean? They mightn't be as appealing to us as a nice big flower power thing. So, I mean, there's plenty of things that won't escape, that will behave very nicely in our gardens and they won't go mad. So I suppose...
Don't weedy-looking things run riot as well, but maybe they're not as damaging. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying we have to learn maybe to live a little bit with what's what we would have called weeds in the past, that we could be... you know, these are our local and our local wildflowers, really. So it's a bit of a brand perception, really, I suppose, that we start accepting some of the stuff maybe that we didn't accept in our gardens before. You know, the daisies and the dandelions in our lawn. Maybe it's time to stop trying to kill those and accept them for, you know, Irish wildflowers and things like
okay.
this. And then there's plenty of other things we can grow. But I suppose the two lists, I suppose, there's the European list of regulated invasive of alien species, and then there's an Irish list as well of species of national concern, and they're all two little papers that you can print off from invasives.ie. It's not a huge extensive list, but they're the ones that are a definite no for your garden.
Yeah, sounds like you have to do a bit of your own detective work on it though, if they're still openly on sale in garden centres.
Yeah, so I think that's the bit of an issue. So I suppose really it is to the industry to say, look, we you know, that we really need to start looking at what we're selling ourselves and not have stuff that's really that we know are going to go mad in the environment. I know you've been talking about cherry laurel, and I know we've been talking about other things that are still widely available. And I suppose we really need to stand up and say, no, that thing goes a bit nuts out in the wider environment, and we really don't want to be growing or planting that into
okay.
the future.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, look. It's been very, it's been an education, I must say. We want to be very careful what we buy from now on. Noeline Smith, botanist and chartered horticulturalist. Thank you very much.